And together, thank you, Jed and Nick. Let's turn to Mark chapter 12. Grab our Bibles, Mark chapter 12. On Sunday nights, I meet people for 3 to 5 minutes in Brother Kyle's office, Brother Kyle Beck. There's chairs out there, and so we don't like have a fight or anything because someone says I was there first. So whoever sits in the first chair, you're first. Second chair is first. Third chair is first. That's next. Okay. So that would never happen in this church. But Brother Ross told me about a church it happened to where he used to go. Now, the older you get, okay, I'm not old yet, but the older you get, the more burdens, okay? That's just the way it works. There's 4 areas where there are more burdens than anywhere else. Finances will put, by the way, you young couples, don't go in a bunch of debt when you first get married. Wait until you're married a year, okay? No, I'm just kidding. Don't put all that pressure on you. Finances, health, okay, health. We've talked about the body, soul, and spirit. And then marriage, okay? Marriage, and I won't go into all of this tonight because that's not what we're talking about. Marriage, and then child rearing. By the way, we all have perfect children until they turn 13. By the way, we're all child-rearing experts until our children turn 14. Then we start closing our mouths because our kids get in trouble and so forth. I remember the house said, man, everybody will love you, Pastor, until their kids turn teenagers. And if you have a Christian school, you might as well forget it. It's going to not be really good because kids get in trouble. They get demerits. And by the way, none of my children never get – well, the demerits they got were falsely – they were falsely accused. Okay. Man, I've had arguments with my brother. I've had arguments with my sister. Haven't have an argument with Brother Kyle yet. They gave Joanna, Joanna? I think Joanna was expelled from the K-4. I'm serious. Was it you, Joanna, or was that Susanna? K-4. Expelled. First child ever expelled from our school in the elementary, Joanna. She went in there one day and we're like, just what we thought. She just can't handle it. But God gives us a remedy not to take away the burden. Do you know some of our burdens we'll live with until the day we die? Some of them will last for a while. But there's a salve. There's a remedy. It doesn't necessarily fix it. It makes it so it doesn't hurt so much. Okay? How many have ever had a toothache late at night? You can't get to the dentist. You can't get to the walk-in emergency late at night. You had a toothache, and you're doing everything you can. Anybody ever do that? It's just you've had it, and you're trying to do everything you can to. I remember one night I was putting Tylenol on there. I was putting aspirin on there. I had a heroin addict guy next door. He gave me a little heroin to try it. Just kidding if you're a visitor. I didn't do that, okay? My wife has this home remedy book. It's that thick. I looked at the chapter on getting your teeth, toothaches or toothaches, whatever you call them, and nothing helped. And then finally the next day I got to the dentist. But, man, I would have anything just to soothe the pain a little bit. God has, it doesn't take away the problem, but it soothes the pain. It soothes the pain. It's one word, love. Love. If you're going through pain and you have someone that loves you, by the way, my greatest salve, therapy, is my family. Because my family loves me, okay? By the way, I have a lot of people that love me, but I love to come home to a family we're all on the same page. We're not one kid. By the way, who knows, my son might become the, next mafia leader or something. But right now, it's great to have a son and a daughter-in-law. We're all going the same direction, and we all love each other. Nothing can help you more than love. And I'm gonna give us a bunch of verses. I'm going to sort of go all over the place. But here's the message before we get into the message. First great commandment is to love God with all of our heart and our mind, our soul, and our strength. And the second is love our neighbors, ourselves. But God goes a step further. And we're going to read a couple verses tonight. And he says, but you need to especially love the household of faith. Do you know we're supposed to love the people in this church more than you love your neighbor? We're supposed to love each other. They're, by the way, we're going to fight each other. How many ever got in a fight with your brother? How many ever got in a fight with your sister? How many of you had like a three-way fight all at the same time? Okay. See, what are fights for? It's because we're fleshly, we're carnal. But you know what? We get over it and we hug each other and we love each other. Okay. Same thing with the church. Love. And I want to look at a few verses. Look at Mark chapter 12. This is our theme verse. By the way, we have to have Christ-like love. Please get that. Love is a therapy only if it's Christ-like. It's not I love you because you love me. You know, there's going to be a day you don't love me, but I'm going to still love you, I hope. Okay? And there might be a day I don't love you, but I hope you'd have Christ-like love, because the love that I need is the love that's Christ-like, and it's you loving me even when I don't love you. Mark chapter 12. I got so many notes here. On the way over here, I have, what? How many pages? 18 pages. On the way over here, I was crossing out. Up here, I was crossing out. I'm like, I think it's cold. I think there's hot chocolate out there, and I think In-N-Out's calling us. How many of your playoff team is still in? Okay. 49ers. All right, I'm not going to go there. I'm gonna stay with the book. We're staying with God, okay? My kids are all Broncos fans. I mean, we had a funeral last night. It's amazing. I shouldn't even say this, but what was it, Sunday night? It's amazing how, and by the way, this is good for us just to apply to life. It's amazing how you can like somebody, and then all of a sudden you get someone that doesn't like somebody, and you don't like them anymore. By the way, that's why don't hang out with people that don't like your wife. Did you get that? Don't hang out with people that don't like your husband. By the way, don't hang out with people that don't like your church. Last night, I turned a sports radio thing on. I just want to see what there is some guy, maybe you heard it. He was 570? 570. This guy was blasting Peyton Manning like if Peyton Manning was the Antichrist. I mean, for 10 minutes, he's a loser. I'm going, a loser? He can never win in the playoffs. This guy's horrible. And I turned it off. I'm like, I hate Peyton Manning. He was my favorite quarterback until last night. Let's get back to the Bible. Mark chapter something. I try to learn life's lessons in everything. I'm thinking, that's how most people are. They're their best friend, and then all of a sudden they get around someone that's scuttlebutting, and they scuttlebutting their best friend, and they won't even talk to their best friends. What happened to you? I don't like you. Okay, don't hang out with long tongue 570? What is that? 570 a.m.? I don't know who that was. He was blasting him. I don't like Peyton Manning anymore. Mark 12, verse 29. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God. By the way, not all of you don't like Peyton Manning anymore. You're like, hey, Verse 30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Father, help us tonight as we just look at the salve that helps all of us. Now, it helps the lost because you love the world so much that you gave your son. It helps our neighbor because we are supposed to be like Jesus in our neighborhood. But we're talking tonight specifically, we'll allude a little bit different place, but to each other. And Lord, we're brothers and sisters. We get with each other. Some of us have known each other for years. We know each other's weaknesses. We know each other's strengths. We know where some of us have failed. But there's nowhere in the Bible that says we're supposed to love people that succeed all the time. And Lord, there's nowhere in the Bible that says we're supposed to love people that are like almost perfect. We're supposed to love each other the way you love us. And Lord, help us. It's a reset button. And Lord, help us to just raise our level of love for each other. Help this place that we call Pacific Baptist Church to be a place where when we come, we know we're accepted, we're loved, we're encouraged, and we have not a human love, but a supernatural love that comes from God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We're going to look at several verses. Look at John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Is it cold on the patio? Their teeth were chattering. Well, hopefully this is the last winter that we have a patio. We'll have it, but we'll leave it out there for the leaves to go on. John chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus is speaking, and he gives a new commandment, he said, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Then he says, how? As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Okay? Now that he's saying this to the disciples, he's saying, you guys need to love each other. Now, he's not saying don't love your neighbor. He's not saying don't love the lost, but he's specifically saying, here's a new commandment. You guys need to love each other the way I love you. Then he goes on to say in verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Of course, there's a difference between a disciple and a Christian. A disciple is somebody that has taken up his cross, denied himself, and following Jesus. He said the characteristic or the badge of a disciple, not a Christian, but a disciple, is loving each other. Okay? By this shall all men know, lost, saved, all men know that ye are my disciples. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians. And of course, this is the love chapter, but I think it would be appropriate for us to look over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1. By the way, let me say this. God here is talking about supernatural love, okay? It's amazing how there are certain groups they call Christians haters. You ever hear that now? Haters. You guys are the haters, okay? And sometimes they say we hate because we have convictions. By the way, loving God does not mean you compromise your convictions, okay? You can't love God if you compromise your convictions. But it's amazing how that the venom that they spew saying, ooh, you guys are haters. Like, beg your pardon. Seems like we're finding out who the real haters are. By the way, that's why, let me please get this. If you have Christ-like love, you got to put up with that. Because you can't spit venom back at them. You can't get the venom and spit at them, okay? You can't do that. Why? That's not Christ-like love. 1 Corinthians 13, look at verse number 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, verse 1. I was in the wrong chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, of course, charity is love or the act of love, I am become as a sounding brass or as tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Go all the way down to verse 13. And now abideth faith, course, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. The greatest, love, is huge on God's list. Look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We're going to look at a few verses, and then I'm going to read a bunch of my sermon. If I read my sermon, we get to in and out faster. 1 Corinthians 16. Amen? Was that you, Marcos? Okay. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14. Let all your things be done with charity. You say, what is that? That's all. What are things? That's all the things. Everything be done with charity. Turn over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to just look at a lot of different random verses that all go along with this thought of it's a different type of love. It's the love that Jesus gave us. And by the way, if you're not walking in the Spirit, you can't have that love. You don't. You get, we're fleshly. We get angry and mad and, you know, we just can't have that love. But he said, a new commandment I give unto you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at verse. Oh, go down to verse 8. Excuse me. Again, verse 8 of 1 Peter 4. And above all things, have perfect charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Okay? Look back up a little bit. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Now, I'm not preaching on that last verse, but men, if you love your wives, love covers a multitude of sins. It's not talking about hiding sin. If you love somebody, they'll put up with a bunch. Okay, they'll put up with a bunch. You love your wife, she'll put up with some of your weaknesses. Okay, she'll put up with some of your character flaws. Galatians chapter 6, look at verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You say, who's that? That's the Christians. That's the people in your church. My dad used to say, I don't know if you remember this, charity begins at home. We need to love each other. It's like a spiritual immune system. Okay? Love, whether it's in a marriage with your children, but I want to say especially in a church, it keeps problems from getting big. Okay? If there's people that really love each other, let me say this, and I'm going to get ahead of myself because it's one of my points. If you're in a marriage, the honeymoon's over, then after a few years, the average marriage lasts 7 years. The average real faithful Christian, deacon, faithful person in a church lasts 7 years. Okay, say, what do they call that? The seven-year itch. You just sort of get used to everybody. Get used to, you know, nobody's like they used to be. So I'm going to get me a new wife. By the way, second marriages last less than the first marriages. Not everybody's, okay? So just put up with him, okay? Stick with him. But love keeps problems from getting out of hand. Love is like a spiritual immune system. Romans 15:1 says, those you that are strong support the weak. And by the way, one day I might be strong and Brother Kyle be weak. And one day he might be strong and I will be weak. But we as Christians need to love each other. By the way, praise God you have a church and you have brothers and sisters that love you. I've had the unfortunate opportunity to be called to the hospital for the dying. They have nobody that loves them. They have to call a church. They don't even know who we are. I don't know if they just pulled us up in the yellow pages or pulled us up on the internet. They have nobody. And they said, we need somebody to come pray for our family. And there's two people there. And this, I remember when I was in Florida, there was a lady, she was going to have open heart surgery. And I was like 26 years old. And the pastor said, you know what, we had this phone call and they'd like for someone to come. And here I am. And these were very, very professional people. And I come in there and here I am, I'm barely shaving. And they said, are you the minister? And I come in, and I'm praying for them. Thank God you do have some Christian brothers and sisters that love you. Amen. Our love for each other should be stronger than our love for outsiders. And I mentioned that. We love, as we just read Galatians 6:7, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We have a mandate from God to love each other. It's a command. It's not a choice. And he said, a new type of love, the love that I've given you. Our love for each other, we just mentioned, is a great testimony to the world. It helps us. Lost people come in a church. When a lost person comes in a church, they smell things. I don't mean coffee. I don't mean hot donuts. They have instincts. Even I'm talking about unsaved and maybe even saved people. And really, what they come in, you know what they do? They watch. They watch for scary things. They watch for bizarre things. They just watch. Different nationalities, when they come in, first thing they do, they didn't come here because this was their nationality church. Okay? They probably know it's not. But they come in here, they want to make sure that doesn't have to be an all-Filipino church, but let me see four or five Filipinos if I'm Filipino, and I'll feel comfortable. But in their pursuit of trying to feel comfortable, what God says, what really makes them think that this is a real church is not as much, and I'll get to loving them, but it's not as much as us loving them, but us loving each other. I saw this morning, I saw Miss Alma was hugging one of the ladies, okay? And do you know what? It's good to have hugs in church. Now, we say, you know, you 18-year-old guys, don't be hugging the 17-year-old girls. Matter of fact, if you do that, you might get your block knocked off. Is that how you say it? So isn't that the robot guy? But there should be hugs. There should be I love you. There should be handshakes. By the way, if someone did well, the Bible says it's okay to praise someone, but don't praise yourself. Let another man praise you. Jed did a good job. He's not coming over here and showing off. Brother Nick came up here. He's saying that's a part of loving, encouraging and kind words and saying different, using our tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Our love for each other is a great testimony to a lost and dying world. John 13:15, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Let me give some love advice. Come to church with a loving people mindset. Come to church. Now, please don't get this wrong. It's okay to come to church to be loved, but it's better to come to church to love somebody else, because what happens is you reap what you sow. And so come to church when you come. And let me say this. Sometimes we come to church and we had a rough Saturday. We had a rough week. Or we're like, man, I don't even want to come to church because I'm miserable. But come to church to come here to love somebody. Not and I wish someone would love me, but love somebody. You say, well, how do you love people? There's many different ways. Smile. Smile. Okay, you say, well, if I put a smile on, it'll be fake. A fake smile is better than a real frown. Listen, we're getting deep tonight. Say hello to everybody. By the way, I try to do this, and I know I'm a pastor, I probably should do it. Be the one that says hello first. Say, oh, pastor, this is so shallow, okay? I talked about communicators and teachers, all right, this morning. Be the first person. Don't wait for someone else. You know, you be the one to say hello. Smile. Say hello. Talk to people about themselves, okay? You know, if you went to Disneyland and you're talking about Disneyland, don't talk about all the rides you went on. Talk about the rides he went on. Most people, that's how we are. Hey, you've been to Disneyland? Oh, yeah, I went on, you know, the Matterhorn. I went on this. This guy has, he doesn't have a chance to say anything. Okay? Love people. Smile. Say hello. Look them in the eye. Talk to them about, I see Kevin Vega back there. He's a gun guy. Squirt guns, airsoft guns. I'll talk to him. I'll kid around. And I'll say something like, "Hey, you been to your local NRA meeting?" I don't. He's probably never been. But you say, "What are you doing?" I'm trying to be interested in what he's interested in. Okay. We have police officers in our church, and I'll come up to them and I'll say, "Hey, man, tell me about the most exciting bust you've had in the last 2 weeks." "Oh yeah, man. We blocked off this entire place, and you know we were staking the place, huh?" I didn't ask you to get in my preaching. Okay? But I love you. Get in their world. Get in people's world. Be kind. When the Lakers are doing well, Grace and Hermie are a very diehard, I mean, in-your-face Laker fans. Now, the truth of the matter is I don't bring Lakers up to a name anymore because it's discouraging. It's just one of those bad words in the church. Okay, but Grace and Hermie, you know, sometimes, I don't think they do it anymore. Did you used to wear Laker colors every once in a while? No, you never. It's been a while, at least about 4 weeks, huh? Carlos over here, Carlos and I, him and I are best friends because we're Cub. Are you a Cub or White Sox fan? Cub, that's what I thought. Cub fan, Bear, he's from Chicago. Cub fan, Bear fan, and I haven't talked to him in a while because the Cubs or the Bears are out of the playoffs and the Cubs stink. But anyway, what are you doing? Get in people's worlds. Get in their world. He said, "Oh, Pastor, that's being fake." No, it's not. It's showing people you love them. I'll ask Brother Bobby, what project are you working on? You know, and well, I'm working on a project in China or something. Like China, you know, but get in. Ariel and Edgel and the family went to Bishop. Now, that's my heart. But they went, the whole family went to Bishop, and they had their little camera out. And I said, "Pastor, are you sincere, or are you just doing it to just make people happy?" Both. Okay, both. Okay, both. I'm doing both. And they had their camera and all the pictures, and they had pictures of deer and fishing and snow. They had one picture. Can I tell them? Doesn't matter. I'm going to tell them anyway. They got somebody, and they all jumped in the air. Mom, Dad, and the two girls, they were all in the air, and someone took them in a picture of them all in the air. They were so embarrassed, and I said, "I promise I won't tell anybody about this picture." Look or say hello. Talk to people about themselves. Show genuine interest, okay? Compliment people, okay? Now don't fib, okay? You know, stand up a minute, son. Don't come up to my son and say, "Man, you've been gaining weight. You look pretty good." You know? And I know we didn't make our tie. And I know, you know, but maybe we chose our tie and say, "Hey, nice tie. Nice shirt. Shoes need shine." But anyway, go ahead and have a seat. Compliment people. Compliment people, okay? And let me say this, never, please, and I say this about every fourth week, if you know something negative about somebody, just because you know it, don't share it. How many have ever had something negative on you? I mean, there's something that you don't want anybody to know. Raise your hand. There's stuff I don't want people to know. Okay? If you find out about something that someone doesn't want to know, don't tell anybody. People say, I don't know why people gossip about me all the time. A lot of times because you're just reaping what you sowed. You're just reaping what you sowed. That principle about sowing and reaping is true. Don't be the person that people are going, oh, I wonder if he's going to, like, you know, he found out about something I did. And by the way, we're not about covering sin and sweeping sin on the carpet, but we are about loving people, okay? And then let me say this. I'm going to make this real practical, and we'll talk about this in the future in our church just to make – let me say this. In our church, our ministry is structured to love people through Sunday school. See, what do you mean? Look, we have many people. We have multiple ministries. We have Spanish ministry. We have Cambodian ministry, and we have bus ministry, and we have over in Monterey Park, we have Chinese ministry, and we have Spanish ministry there, and we have singles adult class and couples class and several more adult classes and so forth. And the best way, now it doesn't mean that if he's not in my Sunday school class, I can't love him, but the best way, and please get this, because we'll be talking about this more, the best way to love people in the context of Pacific Baptist is through Sunday school. You say, why? Sunday school is where we get to know people. Sunday school is where we find out. Listen, there's sometimes, and the Sunday school teachers do a pretty good job at it, but there's sometimes there's somebody in the hospital, and I don't even know about it until they get out. It's not their fault. It's not anyone's fault. But I'll tell you this. If they're in a Sunday school class, that little group of Sunday school, whether it's 30 or 40 or 20 people or some classes, 10 or 15, you know what happens? That Sunday school, you have care group leaders, you have a teacher, and they find out and they get the word out. And the Sunday school is the best place in Pacific Baptist for us to love each other. The deaf ministry, if there's somebody sick, there's somebody in the hospital, somebody that's having a baby, the first place of contact to get love is the, and I know this isn't like life-changing, but listen, if we're going to love each other here at Pacific Baptist, we have to do it on purpose. And I want us to understand, Sunday school is our first point of contact. Remember this, there's always someone hurting that needs love and encouragement in our church. Look for them. He said, well, I don't know. Love everybody. Look, I go over here. I already saw them. There's hurts over here. There's hurts over here. There's hurts over here. There's several hurts over here. There's hurts over here. I'm just glancing. Several hurts over there. They're too cold to hurt over there outside. It hurts. And let me say this. There's never a time where you have a group of this size where you don't have a bunch of people hurting. Now, they're not going to tell everybody. They're not going to tell everybody. But if we'll come in here, and look, our immune system's sort of like this. I call it the Pac-Man. You know, there's a bunch of Pac-Man in our body, and then there's a boo-boo that comes up. You smash your finger. All these Pac-Men say, hey, the guy just smashed his finger, and all the Pac-Men go to that where you got smashed, and it starts to heal. And if we as a church just love each other, when we come here, it's like an ongoing immune system. I already mentioned this. There are four areas where there's major hurts. Health. Can everybody say health? Health. Now, you're like, hey, man, look at me. I'm buffed. You're not as buffed as you think you are. Buffed is perspective. It all depends who you're standing next to. Okay, you stand next to my son, everybody's buffed. Okay. I'm trying to think up here who. Yeah, stand next to Ryan Rawl. You're not as buffed as you think. Health. Older we get, the more there's health, man. Our young Perry, what's Perry, 22, 23 years old? Lung collapsed? His lung collapsed on him. He's just a young guy. Health, finances, okay, marriage and children. And everybody has health. You either have it or you don't. And when you become an adult, you have finances or you don't. And then, by the way, every time when you get married, life gets more complicated. You have children, life gets more complicated. Then the older you get, the older your children get, life gets more complicated. So what do we want to do? We want to come into a church like ours and just love everybody. Let me say this. Don't forget old timers. Now, I don't know. Jerry Sin's a wonderful Christian. Danny Sin's a wonderful Christian. But you know what? But I don't have no idea. Sure enough, you know, they just found out something horrific. As far as I know, their family is great. Their marriage is great. But they've been here for 24 years. Or he's been here 24 years. But I'll tell you what, he needs loving just like everybody else. Okay. Someone say amen, okay? Don't forget the old timers. Remember, everybody needs love. Let's tonight, maybe we've done it before, but let's resolve to say, listen, Pacific, by the way, some people say, oh, you have such high standards. Listen, our standards are to help us to love Jesus. And so they're not, sometimes whenever you have to keep a standard or enforce a standard or you know, you have to put up a wall of protection, it sounds like you don't love. No, that wall of, it's like someone gave the illustration once. Say, what are the standards for? The standards are so that we don't wreck our lives, and the standards is to keep us from things that are going to rob our love for Jesus. So sometimes people, they misunderstand. It's like, oh, you got these standards. You guys are so unloving. No, we're real loving because we have these standards to help us to love the Lord. However, be careful how you communicate those. Be careful. Okay? I have a personal belief. It's a standard. It's not a conviction. There's a difference in a standard and a conviction. A conviction is, thus saith the Lord. A standard is helping me to obey, thus saith the Lord. Now, I have a standard for my kids. They don't date. Ever. Ever. Now, they court. You say, what is courting? Courting is developing a relationship when you're ready to get married. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and financially. Never. Now, whenever I say that, I say, however, I started dating at 5. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying, you're not a bad guy if you don't have my standard. You understand that? Now, I personally think my standards are good ones. But I'm not gonna push my standard off on everybody, okay? So be careful. Help our church to be a magnet of love where we love each other, and where people come in, they can sense it. And please, please, please get this. If you have a conflict with somebody, whether it's in your house, but I'm specifically saying the church, if you have a conflict, go talk to them about it. Don't talk to anybody else. That's not love. That's gossip. That's slander. That's hurting the cause of Christ. That's causing cloudiness in a church or cloudiness in the ministry. Somebody's going to say something. They're going to accidentally do something. On a Sunday night, I don't think we have an evil person in this church. You say, what's evil? Evil is someone who's trying to hurt somebody. That's evil. I think we got sinners. Say, what are sinners? Missing the mark. It's we're trying. It's like, oh, I missed. That's what sin is. We're trying, but we missed the mark. But make sure that if you have something, there's somebody that's hurt you, go to them, okay? Go to them and talk to them about it, and you guys hug each other and pray about it, and let's go on. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Let's stand together.